AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros now delivers and offers curbside pickup. For info on placing your lunch or dinner order, visit vaquerocafe.com. Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, you better wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Monday on B&E. Off we go. 4 hours of fun and conversation, and boy, do we have sports to talk about. You know, our show starts with what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here. Well, we had some sports over the weekend, finally. Baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, fighting, racing, the whole bit. The gamut of sports over the weekend to start the first weekend of August. A lot of conversations. Big 12 still trying to figure out what their plan will be on the heels of the four other Power 5 conferences making decisions on the college football season. Big meeting today that we'll preview, but that'll be a big college football conversation. The Pac-12 has an issue, which we'll dive into, but NFL training camp's up and running. But, Buck, what a weekend. We had a little bit of everything for sports fans over the weekend, whether it was the NBA bubble, your Major League Baseball, your golf, your hockey on the ice. It was pretty good over the weekend.
Yeah, you had fights, you had everything you wanted.
Everything.
If you wanted to sit back, which was, you know, what a lot of folks probably did, especially that first weekend to get sports, just hung out and got kind of big on the couch.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Just kept bringing those chips and all that stuff to you. It was a great, great weekend. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for the fantastic job you do. It is appreciated. First responders, police officers, nurses, doctors, all of you, as we're in this all together, appreciate it. Hopefully you had a good, relaxing weekend.
Please, we certainly hope so. And on Mondays on this show, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. What'd you take in over the weekend that was good? Plenty of that. There was bad. There was ugly as well. And as you said, Buck, it was one of those, normally early August are the dog days of the sports calendar, right? You're kind of dragging
right.
through the baseball
season. It's the season.
Every day. Yeah, you're kind of dragging through the baseball season, and football's not yet here. But boy, man, we had just a plethora of sports over the weekend. We'll try to digest it and take it in. I will say this, of the good of the weekend, Buck, Justin Thomas in golf was pretty damn good. He's the number one player in the world again. We'll get to that. But I thought the NBA and their restart, their first 4 days of the bubble, pretty impressive. I mean, there were some great basketball games. The intensity is up. I mean, James Harden and the Rockets are playing great. The Toronto Raptors off to a good start. I thought that was a lot of fun to watch. I think the NBA is doing it well, doing a good job in the bubble. We kind of wondered what that scene would be like. I was totally engaged in the NBA over the weekend, taking in basketball from Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I think they did a good job, and it started to get to the point where you start to get used to it. You know the sounds, you know the squeaks, you know they're going to be in large facilities, but now you're paying attention to the games. Now you're not paying attention to the surroundings. That, you know, that ends pretty quick once they start playing good basketball and once they start playing intense basketball. I saw a lot of guys diving on the floor for
getting
balls.
After it, man.
I mean, I was like, I didn't know if they would get after it like that, but they understand with this short second part of the season, it's like everybody's got a chance at a championship and everybody feels like good on the restart. Like, I think we can win. No, I think we can win. No, this isn't about the Lakers. This isn't about Milwaukee. No, the Celtics feel like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Don't forget about us. I think everybody feels like they're in it right now.
And hey, guess what? Don't forget about the Spurs.
Who?
The Spurs.
No.
Hey, man. They're going to come. They're playoff.
Let me help you. Forget about them.
Their playoff streak may still be alive.
Forget
also,
about them.
Our producer, Isaiah Collier, said, keep an eye on the Houston Rockets. They jumped out with two big wins, and James Harden looks great. Toronto Raptors. Does anybody remember the Toronto Raptors are the defending champions of the NBA? And they stood up and just whacked the Lakers on Saturday night.
Were they not doing well in the first started, right?
Yeah, no Kawhi, but they're still a force to be reckoned with, it appears, in the NBA. So we'll bring Isaiah Collier in on a lot of the NBA stuff this morning. He is our NBA expert. So we've got hoops, we've got hockey, we've got baseball. And yes, we have college football news, which we have to get to. Let's start with the headlines, trending topics of your Monday. Let's get you caught up on a very, very busy sports calendar. Ernie Hatton Real Estate brings it to you. Yeah, we'll start with the college football news. And, of course, the Pac-12, the SEC, the ACC, and the Big Ten have already moved and announced their plan for the 2020 season, reduced game schedules and pushing back their 2020 season amid the coronavirus. But according to a report on theathletic.com yesterday, the Big 12 is still undecided on their plan. Big 12 athletic directors met on Friday in advance of a big meeting today. Board of directors of the Big 12 will meet today. A final decision is expected. According to that report in The Athletic, they are debating between three different plans. The most popular is a nine-conference game schedule plus one non-conference home game. But there are two others on the table, and according to the report, the opinions are all over the place. It looks like a final deal coming down today from the Big 12, but you never know. Busy weekend of Major League Baseball. The Houston Astros pulled out a 6-5 win in Anaheim yesterday. 11 innings it took. Alex Bregman laced an RBI single in the 11th, and then rookie left-hander Blake Taylor escaped two bases-loaded jams during his first Major League victory. Houston now 5-4 on the young season. Rangers picked up just their third win of the restart with a 9-5 win in San Francisco. Willie Calhoun broke a 5-5 tie in the 7th with a sac fly. Joey Gallo followed that with a 3-run home run. Teams off to the best start in the early Major League Baseball season. How about the Yankees? 7-1 now. Aaron Judge belted two more home runs last night. They beat the Red Sox 7-1. Judge has six bombs already. Minnesota's off to a 7-2 start. Braves are 7-3. Cubs are 7-2. Colorado and the Dodgers pacing the NL West at 6-2 and 7-3 respectively. Now 4 days into the NBA's restart in the bubble in Walt Disney World. And a pair of nice wins over the weekend for the Houston Rockets. They downed Dallas in a thriller on Friday night. 153-149 in overtime. James Harden had 49 in that game. They followed that up by taking down Milwaukee last night in primetime. 120-116. Spurs improved to 2-0 in the bubble. They beat Memphis last night, 108-106. DeJounte Murray's back. He led the way with 21 points and 10 assists. Mavericks are 0-2 in Disney. They followed up that loss to Houston on Friday with a loss to Phoenix last night, 119-117, despite 40 from Luka Doncic. In golf, great weekend for Justin Thomas. He outdueled Brooks Koepka down the stretch to win the World Golf Championship FedEx St. Jude Invitational in Memphis by 5 strokes. Thomas followed up a 66 on Saturday with a 65 yesterday, finished at 13 under par. He's not only ascends back to the number one ranked player in the world, going past Jon Rahm. At 27, Thomas now the third youngest player since 1960 to win 13 PGA Tour events, trailing only Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. Golf's first major of 2020 is on tap this week. PGA Championship teeing off Thursday at Harding Park in San Francisco.
This segment brought to you by Ernie Hatton Real Estate. Let Ernie Hatton show you how to use your current equity to move up into the home of your dreams. Call or text Ernie Hatton at 507-5142.
You know, that was a short-lived number one for Jon Rahm 1 week.
Yeah, well, that's how close it is, right? It's we're talking about decimal points and fractions. And Justin Thomas was great, man. He putted the lights out. And your guy Brooks Koepka,
I don't know how about number 18? What was he?
He went in the water.
Hey, dude, just hit a 3-wood. You can knock it a mile. What are you doing?
Well, if you missed that, Brooks Koepka made like a 40-foot birdie putt on 17.
Oh yeah, that was a bomb.
Oh man, I think it was 39.5 feet or something. And so all of a sudden he's in it, and then on the tee shot on 18, right in the water, makes double bogey on 18, and Justin Thomas says, thank you very much, my friend. He wins by 3 strokes.
And yeah, oh, no, I would have been looking back down. When it's nice and quiet and all that, and you can't see the scoreboard, you know how they talked about, well, he doesn't even know he's in the water yet. I would have been on that up there looking back the whole time.
Yeah.
And he finally got it, though. Somebody finally said something to him after he chipped,
yeah,
which was almost in the hole, which was an incredible chip downhill.
Well, that was fun, and now you got the first major. Here it
yes.
comes. And it's going to be, if you're a golf fan, it's going to be prime time golf because they're playing on the West Coast out in San Francisco. So you get PGA Tour in prime time starting Thursday, or PGA World Golf event,
mm-hmm.
The first major of the PGA Championship in this altered schedule of 2020. But, yeah, golf was fun. Thought the baseball was good. Oh, your guy Aaron Judge just clobbering the baseball.
Like, that dude is healthy. When he's healthy, he's kind of
locked in. like six home runs in 36 at bats, and he's hitting everything like a rocket.
Yeah, they're not just on cruise control for 60. They're after it right now.
Well, and the weird part of baseball is, again, they're not in a bubble, and so you've got like the Yankees. Excuse me, the Braves already played 10 games. The Miami Marlins have played 3. Of course, they've been shut down for a week because of coronavirus, and now the St. Louis Cardinals are the newest team in the coronavirus issue. They're expecting more positive tests today, so the Cardinals could be shut down for a while.
Well, we talked about them. They're the free travelers.
Yeah, that's
no bubble for them.
No bubble. So it says here, Major League Baseball reportedly bracing for additional positive COVID-19 tests among the St. Louis Cardinals. We know how this virus will spread quickly, and we've seen that with Miami, and now we're seeing it with St. Louis. Heck, we saw it. You know, we carry the Texas Rangers games on AM 1260 and 101.9. Their broadcast team. I mean, Steve or Mike Hicks, and then we were worried that Eric Nadell, the Hall of Fame broadcaster. Man, he's in it almost 70 years old.
That's right.
He may have the virus. And so we're kind of watching, not kind of, we certainly are watching, but the commissioner, Rob Manfred, continues to say, look, we planned for this. This was kind of the deal. We're a healthy sport.
So we're not quitters.
We're not quitters. We're going to
No, the virus forward. Is going to let you know if you're quitting.
The virus.
That's the problem.
We'll tell you. But, you know, he's right in the fact that, you know, 27, 28 teams are doing fine. There are a couple teams that are struggling with it. And they're going to move forward. They're going to, you know, continue to play baseball. And I'm glad they are because it's fun to watch. I watched a lot of baseball over the weekend, including the Astros and Angels, and again, a good series. And then your Yankees are clobbering. It's fun. There's some good teams that are off to great starts in Major League Baseball. So NBA was good. Isaiah Collier's producing the show this morning. Isaiah, did you take in a bunch of hoops over the weekend from the NBA bubble?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Most impressive team for
Rockets.
You. You think so?
Yeah.
That's back up.
Yo, that's a scrappy group.
Scrappers, are they now?
That's a scrappy group. Just a lot of dogs and tough guys.
Yeah, man. Well, they gave up 149 points to the Mavericks on Friday and won. And I'm not sure what to say about Luka and the Mavericks. They can't finish. Mavericks can't finish
games.
They
score a lot of points, though, man.
You know, they can score. Well, I mean, you know, when that was what was fun about the Friday night game with the Rockets, and that's probably the best game of the weekend. That's number one and two in the league in offensive efficiency.
Yeah, man. Porzingis and Luka together kind of.
Yeah, they're both really efficient on offense. And, you know, as much as we have fun sometimes with James Harden, I certainly do, as I'm a Houston fan, but I've not always been the biggest James Harden fan. He was brilliant on Friday night. You realize he scored 49 points and he only took like 20-some shots. He was unbelievable. People wondered about James Harden and his efficiency.
Yeah, and the loss of weight.
And he slimmed down.
Yeah.
Golly, he was incredible.
Yeah, so those
on Friday night.
So all those fake moves that he does when he walks and travels and all that. And so now when he gets bumped,
it's not traveling. It's the first step.
Now that he gets bumped, when he gets bumped, now he gets knocked across the court. He didn't even have to like fake it out. Like, you know, he didn't have to act this out. He really does get knocked across the court after losing 20 some pounds. When they hit him, they truly knock him down.
Well,
now
he started to grow that Kardashian butt. Remember, he used to date one of the Kardashians.
That's right.
He slimmed it back there, Zay. He's slimmed down. He's looking good.
But you guys can all stop with the Spurs, okay? You can all quit waving your flags. I still keep the Spurs flag.
Listen, they've won two games now. They've had a pretty easy schedule. They had Sacramento and then Memphis, and they beat Memphis. You know, having DeJounte Murray's big back for them is big. I mean, he's their point guard. He's only, you know, back and kind of leading the way for them. But, you know, here's the deal with the Spurs. They have a good chance to make the playoffs. That's really all it is for the Spurs, right? They came in as the 9 seed or 9 or 10.
Right.
They're trying to play themselves into that 8 just to make the playoffs, which would be pretty cool. It would keep that
streak going.
Yeah, keep their streak alive. I don't think anybody thinks they're a big, you know, big threat, big picture. But to make the playoffs would be an accomplishment. But to that James Harden game on Friday night. So Harden scores 49. He had 23 in the first quarter. He ended up, I mean, his shot line was unbelievable. He had 9 rebounds. He had 8 assists. He turned the ball over once. He was just incredibly efficient against the Mavericks, who don't play much defense at all. But, gosh, in that game, Kristaps Porzingis had 39. Luka Doncic had 28. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 24. It was a fun basketball game. I mean, we've been longing for sports, and now you get a game like that on a Friday night with it was just a hoop to watch the Rockets and Mavericks and play very little defense, but play really high level offense. I thought it was kind of one of those Big 12 type football games where, yeah, the defense is bad, but the offense is really, really good.
Yeah, and I don't think the Bucs have hit their stride yet. I think they're still kind of feeling their way around right now.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what to make. You know, you realize the Toronto Raptors beat up the Lakers. They won the season series with the Lakers, beat them twice now. And, you know, they...
They're the chip on their shoulder team. I mean, they're the defending champs.
Well, LeBron James, after they beat them on Saturday, said that's a championship team. They've got championship DNA. They even without Kawhi, they understand, they expect, and it starts with their defense. And I don't know if they, like, Pascal Siakam's their go-to guy. Kyle Lowry was unbelievable. And what did I see Isaiah Collier, our producer, tweet over the weekend that Kyle Lowry might be playing his way into the Hall of Fame in the NBA?
He might be. He's like the Frank Gore of the NBA.
That's perfect. That's a perfect way to put it.
Kyle Lowry is the Frank Gore of the NBA. Might be.
Has more All-Star appearances than Reggie Miller.
Wow. He does?
Dang. Yes, he has 6. Reggie has 5.
Dang. See, there's some...
He's a very efficient...
And a ring. Reggie doesn't have a ring.
Yeah,
either.
He's an efficient player, man. He always has been, really.
Just a junk... Speaking of tenacity and, you know, junkyard dogs, that's the Raptors. So, fun basketball. We have 4 days into the bubble. We'll take your thoughts on it and things you saw over the weekend, the good, the bad, and the ugly, from golf, from baseball, from basketball. And what the hell is the Big 12 going to do today, Buck? I mean, this is... we thought, at least you and I both debated, that would the NBA have a decision on Friday? That didn't happen. But there's a big meeting today. The board of directors for the Big 12 will get together and hash out an arrangement.
You know, we always say, you know, we heard, why are they always last in everything? Maybe this is the but there's no splash to being last on this. It's just, come on.
Well,
yeah, come on, guys.
Well, we're going to have Max Olson with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Max wrote the story at theathletic.com that I referenced in the headlines, in which he says the Big 12, the athletic directors met Friday. And there's going to be a board of directors meeting today where they expect a final decision. The three models, and let me ask you this here, the three models garnering the most discussion is because essentially what Max and his co-writer, Nicole Auerbach, wrote was that they're all over the map. Like the different ADs have different ideas and different plans, and that's why they haven't had a decision made yet. Heck, the Big Ten had their plan back, you know, 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago now. They went all conference games. We know that the ACC is going to play all conference plus one, and Notre Dame's involved.
I want anything with a plus one.
So here are the three models garnering the most discussion for the Big 12: playing 9 conference games, 1 non-conference home game. Okay, and that's the most likely, according to Max and Nicole, playing 9 conference games and 2 non-conference games.
That's not going to happen.
And then playing a 12-game regular season with 9 conference games and play as many. Play 3 conferences.
That's not going to happen either.
Because there are...
That first one is the one.
Right. But there are Big 12 ADs arguing for the 12th. Saying we want our 12th.
Wasting time. They're going to get out this morning and say that, okay, we're playing 9 with 1 non-conference.
Like
most people will do.
But would it shock you if the Big 12... Because remember, the ACC announced that they won't start their season until September the 12th. The SEC announced their season will start September 26th. The Big 12 is scheduled. Oklahoma is scheduled to play a game on August the 29th. Like, they're really going to start a month earlier than the SEC, which they could. I mean, literally, that's on the table, apparently, that they could. The most likely is just to get to 10 games, play your 9, move things back.
For some reason, I had that feeling once I got the next letter from Chris Del Conte about tickets and all that.
Yeah.
It was like one more shot at, hey, please. We'd love for you to hold over in the tickets till next year, make a donation to it. That sounds like 9-1 to me.
I think it's going to be 9-1.
Sounds like. Come on.
And I think for all the reasons we've talked about in the other conferences, schedule flexibility, the ability to create more off dates and prepare. And I think you probably want to be in line because, you know, the one thing that will be interesting is to see how the ACC, remember the ACC when they came out with their plan early last week, did 10 conference games, conference only, with Notre Dame joining the conference for the year, but then 1 extra game. But it had to be a game against a team in your own state. And that was so that the SEC could follow suit and allow those rivalry games, the in-state rivalry games, conference to conference, to happen. So Kentucky could play Louisville, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Clemson, South Carolina. Well, the SEC announced, no, we're just playing conference. We're not doing that. We're going to, for 1 year, we won't play those games that have been played for 100 years.
Yeah, you make those decisions. You know, we always want to, we said this is all about buying for time. But there comes a time that there's travel involved, there's hotels involved.
Oh, yeah.
We got to make decisions on this. We have to make sure that that place is safe for us. We got things we have to talk about besides how many games we're going to play. So we need to let everybody know that, okay, Texas El Paso, you're coming here or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're our one. You can't keep holding this off. You just can't.
You can't. Well, and that's my question on the ACC is, do they double back and say, you know what, we're going to eliminate that plus one game? Because that plus one game was set up just so that they could have those rivalry games. Because, I mean, when you put the wording in-state team, well, that's for the rivalry game. Well, if now the SEC didn't follow suit, well, do you double back and say, okay, we're just playing a 10-game conference schedule. We're not going to do the plus one, and we get to 10 games. SEC is going to be 10. The Big Ten is supposed to announce their new schedule this week, as will the Pac-12. And, you know, the Big 12, I think, is going to follow suit with the 10-game schedule. We'll talk to Max coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of what he's hearing, what's the leading contender, because you want to be somewhat uniform. The Big 12 doesn't need to start playing football in August if everyone else is starting. Because my point on the ACC is, if they were to eliminate that plus one, you could all already see them backing things up into later September just to give themselves more time. But you don't want to be the only.
Some say play a game and then see what it's like after a game, see what your campus is like. For me, I want to see what my campus is like before I play a game. I want to see what rolls into my campus.
Well, look, here's where you say shame on the Big 12 for dragging their feet on this and not being decisive. Oklahoma's got a game in 29 days. They need to know. Are we playing or not, guys? Lincoln Riley's team's going to practice. And you know, Texas isn't scheduled to play a game for 35 days until September the 5th. But at the same time, your programs need to know what the plan is. And hopefully that comes down today. I would say one of the things, speaking of on campus, breaking news, breaking news. Official from the University of Texas, in addition to the president asking all students, all 40 or 50,000, to quarantine for 14 days before returning to campus.
Chuckle again.
No parties at UT this fall, on or off campus, school officials say. University of Texas at Austin discouraged Longhorns from holding parties when they return to campus. In a letter, Vice President for Student Affairs and Dean of Students, Sancia Reagans-Lilly, told students that parties are not allowed, on campus or off. How's that going to go?
Underground.
No parties.
Underground parties or whatever, wherever they have them, they're going to be underground somewhere. That's a good thought, and I'm glad she said that, but
students,
college.
Students can face penalties for not abiding with the request, according to the letter.
Yeah, they can send you home. How about they send you home?
Yeah, this is a year unlike any other, so no parties. I'm sure Tom Herman's reading that going, okay, good.
Well, of course.
Because you guys don't need to be at parties. We need to be bubbling.
I mean, it's until they have openings of more restaurants, more bars downtown.
This is going to be.
But it's on campus, man. They have parties every night on campus. This ain't
West
just
campus.
A week. This just ain't a weekend thing.
Students are also required
Friday,
to wear
right?
a face mask indoors, stay 6 feet apart from others, participate in daily symptom screening using an app, and meet online or outdoors in large open areas when possible. Here they come.
They're coming to campus.
I'm taking my daughter to Denton in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's why I said, don't you want to? I would rather play games later. I want to find out what my campus is like in the first couple weeks.
Agreed.
If it's just out of control, I mean, if it's everywhere,
well,
then
and a lot of students move back on campus this weekend at UT, and they'll kind of come in waves. But yeah, I agree with you. That's where the SEC at September 26th, which gives, you know, school will start in late August, and then there's a, you know, 3 to 4 week ramp up period to see, okay, let's see what this looks like on our campus before we have to play a football game. And I think you'll see the Big 12 follow suit. We'll see what the Big 10 announces with their schedule this week. Pac-12 will also announce their schedule this week, but the Pac-12 has an issue. Did you see the Pac-12 players uniting for change? We'll get you details on that. United we stand, they say.
Yeah, good luck to that one.
Good luck, Pac-12.
Yeah.
Get you details on that. They're saying we're not playing unless, much like we saw with Texas, you know, fighting for change on UT's campus, the Pac-12 wants change as a conference, including compensation.
Including their coaches.
And they'd like to see their coaches make less and them get a little of the money.
Well, it's okay. Good luck.
Here comes the Pac-12. All right, great weekend. We want your thoughts, the good, the bad, and the ugly from, man, a chocked full of sports weekend with so much going on. A lot of fun to be had, a lot of conversations to have here on the Horn. It just feels good to come in and talk sports, talk baseball, basketball, some hockey. We got golf. We got it all. We got it all with you. Glad you're with us. Just getting warmed up. Ride with us all morning long, all day long, right here on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Be it on a Monday, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. It certainly was. We've had plenty of Mondays bunked the last several months where there wasn't a lot of sports to discuss coming in on a Monday. There certainly is this Monday, the 3rd of August. Good stuff over the weekend. Hoops, hockey, baseball.
Did you say hockey?
Oh, yeah, man. Playoffs.
Playoffs hockey?
Playoff hockey. Back in the bubble, two locations. Yeah, they play there doing bubble hockey, doing bubble basketball. Non-bubble baseball, but still plenty of it.
I see where Major League Baseball, if they hit a home run now and it hits your cardboard cutout, just send you the ball.
Nice.
I love that. Out of nowhere, you get this ball coming to your house.
Yeah, man.
Beautiful thing.
I got to where, I watched a lot of baseball over the weekend. I got to where I wasn't even noticing the lack of crowd.
It's not, because it's baseball.
It's baseball.
Yeah.
And I you know what? NBA too. I mean, I was totally into the NBA. I mean, I thought as good as they could be, because, you know, we're not used to seeing basketball in August, but I thought it was great. It was pretty high level, so looking forward to, you know, they're doing this 8-game break, you know, finish up the regular season, then playoffs.
Well, you forget about the surroundings now. Now it's just like baseball, it's basketball.
Yeah.
You'll start to get used to all that. The one is going to be football.
How do they do it?
How do they play without?
And I was thinking about this. You know, baseball is dealing, and Rob Manfred, there was some thought over the weekend, there was some smoke that baseball could shut down, because Rob Manfred had some real strong words for Tony Clark, the Players Association head, really telling the players to get their act together. Like, if we're going to do this, they've got to be better.
They can't
be hanging out at the hotel bar. They can't be going out. I mean, we all agreed. It's only 2 months, guys. I mean, you have to be careful here.
Right.
And the domino effect for baseball is that one team affects every. I mean, they had, you know, six teams not playing this weekend because of COVID. Like, as we mentioned, some teams have played 10 games already. The Miami Marlins have played 3. And they've agreed. Yesterday we had our first ever 7-inning doubleheader in Major League Baseball. Because they know they have to get these games in, so they're going to move to 7-inning doubleheaders.
That's what's amazing. We're talking about still, that's what they do as their profession to make money. We're talking about asking college students not to party.
Well, here's the thing.
Don't have party.
So the latest outbreak is with the Cardinals in St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
So the St. Louis Cardinals, and there's a report this morning that they're fearing more positive tests. It's like we saw with Miami. What starts as a couple turns into more.
Sure.
It's just the way the virus spreads. Well, so there was fear that because remember when the Marlins were playing the Phillies? So last Monday we talked about the Marlins, and boy, what about Philadelphia? Well, Philadelphia hasn't had any positive tests for their team, which was positive for the whole week.
That's true.
But we, you know, the CDC says it's a 10 to 14 day incubation period. So everybody's kind of like, oh man. You know, they still could be positive tests. So now the Cardinals of St. Louis are having these outbreaks, and the fear is that they played the Twins this week. So now everybody's got their eyes on the Twins, but the Twins went ahead and played this weekend. Well, you know, what if they're spreading it to the team they're playing, and we just don't know, and those are all the things that are up in the air. The argument football can make, and the baseball can't, baseball plays every day. You know, baseball plays every day. And so it's hard to stop baseball. And this is what the conferences are saying, why they're building the schedules the way they're building them, is, you know, if we do have an outbreak on a team, we'll be able to take a week off. Just say, guys, we're shutting this team down for the week, and it's actually 2 weeks, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. And that the schedule flexibility is what the conference leaders are all talking about, that we can withstand that.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're anticipating that there's going to be outbreaks on teams, and when they do, we're just going to shut that team down for a few weeks and let them get through it, and then we'll come back and play. Now, is that the smartest thing? Is that the way we should be doing it? That's at least what the conferences are saying, that this is going to give us the flexibility. And my apologies, I mentioned that the Pac-12 had not announced their schedule. The Pac-12 did release their schedule over the weekend, and it's a conference-only schedule that begins on September 26th, which is exactly when the SEC is planning to start. I'm assuming the Big Ten is going to be kind of in that calendar time when they come out with their schedule this week. And we know that the ACC has come out and said, September 12th is when they're beginning, but I wonder if they don't move that back based on the no rivalry games, because the SEC didn't follow suit with them, and the Big 12 is supposed to make their decision today. So September 26th seems like a likely date for the real start of college football.
Yeah, and in the Pac-12 they talked about players opting out and stuff like that. I mean, it's it's a small minority of players that are talking about this. I mean, is there going to be change? Yeah, I think there's change going to be. Change is going to be in college football all over the place. But the extent of the change that they want is not going to happen. All that stuff, that's not going to happen. Coaches are going to end up taking pay cuts because that's the way it goes. Now, if the players think that they've created that change, okay, make them feel good. Like, oh, yeah, guess what you did? You created a change for us. We're not going to get paid as much. But well, you're not going to get equal pay to what we get. And you're not getting health benefits.
Right. To lay it out there for folks, the Players Tribune, right, is a website. Derek Jeter used to own the Players Tribune. I don't know if he still does, but it's where players can write their own story, right?
Right.
And a group of Pac-12 players, like not from any one school, but a group of players who play football in the Pac-12, and they hashtagged United We Stand, they wrote a letter in the Players Tribune demanding change within the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, among the things they asked for, they want salary cuts for coaches. They want money for athletes. They want health benefits for taking the risk of playing. It's a pretty thoughtful piece. I mean, they've
nice.
Thought this out.
Yeah.
But will they get that?
No.
No. Probably not. But
they're going to get some things that were going to happen because of the virus. Anyway. These things are going to be naturally that are going to happen for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they may feel like something has happened in the positive form, and look, we have created change. Well, the change is going to come. The economics was going to tell you that the change is going to come in some ways, and if you feel like you've made that change, that's fine. I think that's fine too. But you're not going to get health benefits and equal pay, and everybody's going to do all they can to try to protect you from the virus. It's what were you looking for? I mean, you're not going to go play football in hazmat suits. It's not going to happen. Those things aren't going to happen. You know what I mean?
Correct. And look, if you don't want to play, you can forfeit your scholarship and not play football. That's just that'll be your choice. And I get it. It's kind of like we talk about in because the sports are going to move forward and try to be as healthy as possible.
Correct.
Change is good, and we've argued about players getting a cut and name and likeness and all those things for a long time.
Isn't that supposed to be happening anywhere, somewhere down
the line? It is.
Through all of this, isn't that supposed to happen
right.
sometime?
You know, there
2021.
You know, the one of the demands of the Pac-12 group is 50% of revenues. They want to distribute revenue.
Well, that ain't going
to
happen.
Which will shift from the coaches who are highly paid to the players who are not. No, it's not. I mean, it's not going to happen. But they're threatening to opt out and not play. Well,
that's 12 or 14 guys.
Yeah,
right now. I mean, it may grow a little bit, but as I said, eventually the universities are going to say, you know what? We're paying for your scholarship. If you don't want this scholarship, somebody else is going to take this scholarship.
That's right. And positive change can come from that, but at the
sure.
same time, their demands are, it becomes a professional sport at that point. You're talking
right.
about
health insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Health benefits.
Benefits.
6 years. Graduation.
They're essentially forming what appears to be the beginnings of a players' union, in the Pac-12.
That we thought could happen, 30 years ago?
Well, remember Northwestern. Remember the Northwestern football players tried to unionize and take on the Big Ten. Well, that didn't, we saw how far that got. But it doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means, can you actually make it, take a stand on this? No, the schools are just going to say, all right, then we'll move on to the next guy.
Yeah, big compensations for coaches are going to be on hold for, I don't know, for some years. I mean, Lincoln Riley just got a pay raise, but his pay raise was done before this all happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they do that in advance.
Yeah, that was done in advance. I mean, Tom Herman's guys ain't giving back $750,000.
Well, if we get to the season, and we've had the debate about fans and stands. If we get to the season and there are no fans in the stands, they're going to be guys taking pay cuts. Then they're going to be
yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Less.
And the players may think, oh, we had something to do with that. No, not really.
the economics had something to
yeah,
do with
the
it.
The economics is going to
lack of fans in the stands had
that's
a lot to
right.
do with their.
But if you
sets.
Feel good about that. That's okay.
Correct.
And once again, they're not going to put, or maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe some places just want you to go play. Some people want you to continue to just, be what you are, a football player. But I got to believe that most universities are going to try their best to protect you through this.
Well,
they're not going to not test you. And
among the demands of the Pac-12 football players in the letter, in the Players Tribune under We Are United, is medical insurance for 6 years after their eligibility is up. So after you're done with college.
You get that in the NFL.
6 years of health insurance.
That's what the NFL is looking for, correct? No, that's what they get.
That's what they get. Essentially what they get. So medical insurance for 6 years, a permanent civic engagement task force to address social injustice issues.
They can say they're going to do that. They can do that for you. Yes.
And for the league to distribute 50% of each sport's total conference revenue evenly among athletes in their respective sports.
Yeah, well, you can forget that one. You're going to forget that. I don't know how they're going to smooth that one out, but that one's not. That's one that's
50% of each sport's total conference revenue. Half of it.
That's half
the money to the players.
That's very similar to what they thought was the eyes of Texas was going to change. That's about the same one right there.
For student athletes being compensated, but
half?
Half the money? Well, that's what they're arguing. Well, why do the coaches get all the money? We're the talent. We're the ones playing. They have a point, but I think it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Bad timing.
You go pro. Go pro at that point. And if you have an opportunity to make it and get paid to do it, then
as you
go
said,
for it.
The word opt out. You can opt out.
You don't have to take that scholarship.
Well, you can go see if you can make the pros if you opt out.
Yeah. You know, if you want to pass on that Stanford education or that UCLA
or Cal
and not get the go for it. Do your thing. Again, I'm someone who's advocated for them getting a piece of the pie for a long time.
Long time.
But 50%?
That's a big piece of pie.
And medical insurance for 6 years after? That just doesn't fit the economic model. So you might want to move on at that point and try your hand professionally under those demands. But, you know, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that as it is a year unlike any other. We know that. They're playing basketball in bubbles and hockey in bubbles and you know, cardboard cutouts behind home plate. It's one of those.
Presidents are telling you can't party for the year.
Yeah, no parties on campus. No parties. No parties at college.
Oh, my God.
You figure it out.
Where's going to be the underground party place? You know there is, right?
I'm assuming they're going to have, like, campus patrols out looking for parties. Because don't they have to squash them?
Nah, it's going to be the squealing hotline.
I'm sorry.
It's not going to be squealing.
Well, it'll be like the snitch line in the NBA.
Okay, it's the snitch line. Okay, it is squealing.
If someone's having a party next to you, you're going to call them in. And who are you calling? Like campus security, like UT police? Who's coming in?
Oh, yeah. Like they want to come running into a place that's got jammed while they're jamming.
Like people are.
But they have to. But yeah, they're going to have a snitch line.
Snitch line. Have to. I mean, if UT says no parties. Then, you hope that I think a high majority of the young people understand the situation, and then they understand that because they've been quarantining for most of the spring and into the summer at their homes or wherever they are, they understand this is a different kind of year, and they've got to be adults about this. But at the same time, you also understand that there's going to be people trying to have parties, and it doesn't take but a few to spread it to a lot of people at that point, which is what UT's fear is. So we'll keep an eye on that.
And I think in a lot of people's minds, that's how they do it. That's how they think. They say, guess what?
Like when you were
if I'm
up,
not doing it, somebody else is doing it.
Yeah.
And that's how they, yeah.
Unfortunately, like where you grew up, you had basements where you were. You go down in the basement and have a party.
Oh, yeah, big basement
no
party.
No basements here.
Wow. Everybody's going to know because it always flows out to the front porch and yards around here.
We'll see. We'll take your thoughts, good, bad, and ugly, from the weekend. We've got your B&E fact of the day before the top of the hour. Get your thinking caps on and get you rolling here. We've got your headlines, your coaches' corner. Said Max Olson will join us. He's got the very latest on the Big 12's meeting today with the board of directors, what their ultimate plan is going to be. We'll debate with him coming up. It's a busy Monday. Glad you're with us.
Bucky and Aaron.
Two out of Judges hit a bunch to left. He did it again. Oh, my.
Yeah, safe to say Aaron Judge is locked in to start the 2020 baseball season. Six home runs and 36 at-bats and some serious exit velo, as they call it, exit velocity. He's hitting rockets. That was a game winner, or at least a late game winner earlier this weekend. Aaron Judge and the Yankees off to a 7-1 start in their first eight games. That was a little Metallica coming back as well as James Hetfield, their lead singer. 57 today on this August the 3rd, first weekend of August in the books. And it was a good one. There's a lot going on. Bucky's Yankees are hot. If you're a Braves fan, you're off to a good start. You're feeling good. Dodgers are good. Maybe the biggest surprise early is the Cubbies. Cubbies off to a good start, 7-3 in their first 10. So watching some baseball.
Hey, the sprint is a good thing, man, for some teams. Some teams get off to a fast start. Can't be slow.
Yeah. Well, and so if you're a Ranger fan, you're not off to a good start. You're 3-5. Your Astros are 5-4, but the Astros have already lost Justin Verlander, and over the weekend, their closer Roberto Osuna left the game. That they,
yeah,
they'd come from behind to take a lead over the Angels, and then Osuna was in to close it, and he left with arm discomfort. That was not good news. So they then blew that. They brought in Cy Snead, and he blew the lead, and the Angels won the only game of that series that they won. Astros won 2 out of 3. But now your ace and your closer, both with arm issues early, that's a struggle as the Astros are 5-4 the young season.
So the bad for me yesterday was that, you know, in the process of getting ready to try to move over the next couple weeks, I took out all the stuff out of the garage. It took me like an hour and a half. The stuff, you know, you want to clean the garage, the stuff that you're going to keep, the stuff you're going to throw away, took me an hour and a half to get it outside. The storm brewed up yesterday in the middle of the day. It took me 15 minutes to get it back in. You're talking about a guy who must have been on cruise control getting it out. But, man, I looked over to the I guess it was the east or whatever, and I went, oh, no. This, the way this wind is coming, this thing is going to be here in a matter of, like, less than a half hour.
It's crazy.
Dude,
storm.
You should have seen me pulling stuff in and sweating. I went through 3 shirts yesterday just getting stuff back in the garage. That thing lasted for like 15 minutes and was gone.
Between the storm on Friday afternoon and then the storm yesterday.
This is how Florida is, like every day.
Crazy. Well, Friday afternoon, the storm came through out of the north, cooled things off from about 95 to about 75. But the wind, you know, out at Onion Creek where I live, they lost 12 full trees. Like 12 full old trees came down.
That kind of wind?
And Ryan, the superintendent out there, was telling me, let me give me the number. Gosh, it must have been 30 or 40 tree limbs, some big tree limbs down, because the wind was just howling out of the north. And then yesterday, same thing came rolling through for a lot of people. Not everybody, but I know folks down in Butte of Kyle got hit hard, and a lot of patio furniture got turned over. It was a pretty good storm.
Yeah, you're talking about needing some rain. Well, that in the afternoons, it seems like the rain's coming in.
Woo. I think about an inch on Friday. I mean, that was a big time storm.
15 minutes to get here when I first saw it. And I was like, do I have a little time? I got to watch some more golf. No!
Here comes the rain.
Here it comes.
Yeah, just barreling down out of the north. So
so some of you needed that rain. I'm glad you got it over the weekend.
We did get some over the weekend.
By the way, you're going to get that. This is going to be what you're going to see over the next week or so. Now, it's supposed to be in the hundreds and then to 102 all week long. Well, you're going to get those late showers that pop up, it reminds you of being in Florida, where they kind of have these pop-up showers, but ours are like...
And these are summer storms.
Storms.
Summer storms for sure.
We need it.
Well, good, bad, and ugly from the weekend. What'd you take in? Boy, it was good. There was sports all weekend. I thought the baseball was good. I thought the basketball was excellent. Really enjoyed the NBA. I think they're doing a nice job in the bubble. And you can tell there are some teams that kind of took that off time to get dialed in. And Toronto is a team that jumps out. It's kind of one of those teams. They took down the Lakers on Saturday.
But once again, you always talk about veteran teams.
Yeah.
Once again, there's a veteran team right there that is ready to go. That's why teams like Milwaukee, you know, although you got great players, you need to start stepping up. The veteran teams will be there. And I think the same thing is going to happen. Well, I mean, look at the Yankees in baseball. I know they're good, but that's kind of a veteran team now that's been through a bunch of playoffs together. And I think the same is going to happen when football starts, as you said, E. When the NFL starts, the teams that have veteran players, they're not going to rely on a bunch of rookies.
Yeah. Well, I do think in this short sprint, it's going to be the teams that say the healthiest, and then, as you say, the veteran teams. Because, as we said, the Astros have already lost their ace and their closer, and who knows how long that is. But in this two-month season, even 3 weeks down is killer. I mean, that's half the year almost. If you got a guy miss a month, I mean, that's half the season. Can he get back for the playoffs? But can you even make the playoffs? I mean, you know, 16 teams will make the playoffs this year, so it's an easier way in.
But the Spurs, y'all, come on, man.
Hey, Spurs.
The Spurs.
They won again last night. Won again. Beat Ja Morant in Memphis.
Memphis. They're playing anybody yet, though?
No, they played Sacramento and Memphis so far. But they've had an easy go early. But, keep an eye. Can they keep that playoff streak going becomes the question.
Has anybody told the Pelicans that they've been trying to get them in the playoffs now? Or are they just there to show up to all the rules and all the different things they changed so they get Zion in there? Somebody needs to talk to them.
Well, the biggest ugly of the of the weekend for me is that, why aren't the New Orleans Pelicans playing Zion Williamson more? Does that make any sense? Zay, what's going on with Zion? Can we get Zion in the game?
Did somebody talk to commissioner at all before this all started?
What the heck's going on?
They're trying to protect the franchise. That's literally what they said.
But you know the reason they didn't, you know, they could have just taken the 16 teams and said, y'all, the playoffs start now, like the NHL did.
And they would have gone, and they would have done it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a lot of talk about doing that. Why are we bringing 22 teams? Huge part of that was Zion, right?
Yes, it
huge
was.
Huge part of that was getting...
Yes, it was.
Because if we bring New Orleans and give them a chance, and we got to bring these other teams in to give them a chance
TV
for the back
revenue,
end.
TV revenue, the money.
Well, then Alvin Gentry put Zion in the game. Can we play the guy? That's what people want to see. For
I
got to
believe the commissioner is calling up like, hey, listen, this is for all of us here.
Yeah. We could have just brought the playoff teams and just called it
like
16.
Like Zay says, hey, we're going to take care of the franchise.
And he's a lot heavier than what he was when he came in the first time. Like, he left the bubble and came back.
No!
So he does not look like how he did when everybody was in quarantine.
What do
he
you mean?
Looks,
what, did he go
what,
home?
Packed on pounds in 2 weeks?
Yo, he does not look like he's in shape like everybody thought he was.
So really,
not at all.
Young body, got to have some food, goes home to mom's cooking.
Ooh.
See ya.
Southern fried.
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Man. Well, he's playing 15 minutes a night. It's a 48-minute game. He's getting 15 minutes? It's like, really? Why did we even bring New Orleans?
Eat the whole ham?
We'll keep an eye on that. It's early yet. Yeah. We're only 4 days into the bubble, so we won't overreact too much on that, but maybe we already are. All right, so that's out there. We've got. Hey, let me ask you this, Buck, and we'll get into this coming up in our Coach's Corner. Is college athletics as we know it changing forever? Are we watching the – because, you know, what we're seeing in the Pac-12, and there's another feud brewing between the Power 5 conferences and the NCAA. There's going to be an announcement. I'll get you this story coming up, but it is becoming very clear that the Power 5 conferences and the NCAA have never been more at odds. And we'll explain that situation that, you know, we kind of think the NCAA is pretty irrelevant as it stands now. But as we're seeing these Power 5 schools, okay, we're going conference only, which is going to crush the non-Power 5 schools, right? There are five other conferences who, you know, they got to make some decisions, but they're not going to get these money games and the Power 5, the 65 teams plus Notre Dame separating from the others. And now those Power 5 may separate completely from the NCAA. We'll get you details on that coming up. Also, your other top stories. First, though, let's get to your B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, so on this date, in 1949, the NBA, as we know it, was formed. The NBA, the National Basketball Association, was formed with the merging of which two leagues? Yeah, which two leagues? We'll tell you that story, and you'll get a little history lesson on the modern NBA, because it happened on this day in 1949. That'll be your B&E Fact of the Day. It's B&E on a Monday. Glad you're with us. Good, bad, and ugly. Sun coming up. Join us. A lot of sports to talk about.